chapter 30. The Lord kept David and his men from fighting his own people with Achish, but now he had another battle to fight against the Amalekites. The Amalekites, if you recall back in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul was supposed to annihilate him. He didn't do it. He disobeyed God. That cost him the kingdom. So now here's David having to deal with a group he shouldn't have had to deal with. They've been enemies of the Lord since all the way back in the Exodus. As a matter of fact, in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, we read a little bit about the Amalekites and the pain that they were. Beginning with verse number 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were very heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited, a great KJV word there, Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And then, as you recall in our study of Deuteronomy in chapter 25, verses 17 through 19, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt, his treachery, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Well, Saul forgot it. Saul didn't finish the job. All right, chapter 30. Let's go ahead and have some folks read. We got 31 verses. So if we could have five do five and one do six, we can read through it. Should get through this chapter. Next week, we're going to finish chapter 31. I got a few things, just kind of wind it all up and bring it all together. And then we'll be finished with 1 Samuel. And we're going to go right into 2 Samuel. And then we're going to stop and get into Daniel, Revelation, or just Revelation. Not sure which, but I'm leaning toward doing both. Many that are here now were not here back several years ago, and we did Daniel, Revelation. I'm hoping it'll be a catalyst to get a few more in that are interested in future things. All right, so George, if you'd start with 1 through 5, who will do 6 through 10? 6 through 10, Miss Sherry, 11 through 15, Miss Betty, I saw that hand. And then 16 through 20. Anybody? 16 through 20. Bill? And then 21 through 25. Miss Rhonda, I saw your hand. And then we need 22 to 20. Excuse me, 20. What did I say? What was the last one? 20 what? 21 through 25. Did we do that yet? Yeah. Huh? Is that what you're doing? Okay. And then finishing up through 31, who will do that?
I'll do it.
All right, Ms. Becca. All right, go ahead, George.
And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive, and there were therein they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite.
And David was greatly distressed for the people's fate concerning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abthar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, and he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, or 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor.
Who's got 11 through 15? Is that you, Betty?
Yeah, that's me. I marked it wrong. I thought it was 12. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of figs. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water, 3 days and 3 nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalek. And my master left me, because 3 days ago I fell sick. I made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said unto him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought...
Oh, you're done.
And when we had, when he had brought him down, there they were spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. But David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and herds from them. And David took all the flocks and herds they had driven before those other livestock and said, This is David's spoil.
Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David. They also had made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and the worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. But David said, My brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us. He has preserved us and delivered into our hands against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. So it was from that day forward, he made a statute that an ordinance for Israel to this day.
And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in South Ramah, and to them which were in Jatir, and to them which were in Aroer, and to them which were in Sipmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rachel, and to them which were in the cities of the Jeremelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Shorashan, to them which were in Aphek, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt.
All right, thank all. You did really good on those names. Excellent job.
I need to read ahead before I volunteer.
You're like a scholar. All right, for keeping an outline, number one, delivering the captives underneath that distress. Delivering the captives, chapter 31 through 20, distress, verse 1 through the first part of verse number 6. It seems evident as you read along in the beginning, especially the chapter, that David, no doubt, was being moved, or God was seeking to get him out of the foreign territory and back to Judah where he belonged. Remember, he was told to go to Judah, and he ended up back in the land of the Philistines, and so the Lord was trying to get him back out of there. With David at Gath, the Amalekites had seized the opportunity to retaliate. Remember, David was orchestrating a lot of raids when he lived in the territory of Ziklag. He was raiding Philistine territories, and of course the king Achish was deceived into thinking that he was actually invading Judah, and then he ended up in a pickle where he had to go to a battle. Looked like he was going to have to fight his own people. Had not God intervened, who knows what would have happened. I can't imagine that David would have killed his own people. Do you? I don't think that would have happened, but who knows exactly how it would have worked out. So Ziklag, since David had gone to Gath with the king of Gath, Ziklag was left defenseless. Everybody was gone. All the men, all the warriors were gone with David, 600 men. And up to this point, David and his men had not lost a single battle. They were victorious in every single battle. And so obviously it was a horrible shock to them, but God did show mercy to David and his men. Think about this. David was killing women and children. When he invaded, he didn't want Achish to find out. And so he made sure there were no witnesses left alive. So it had to be God that caused his enemies not to kill the women and children of Ziklag. That was God's direct intervention. Not a single one of them died. Not a single woman, not a single child died. So number one, distress. That gets us through. And by the way, in verse 1, whenever you see south, a lot of the translations have Negev, N-E-G-E-V, which means south. So it's just kind of throwing that out there for you. No real great thing there. Verse 5, where the Bible says, Abigail, the wife of Nabal, many have widow, which is what she was. She ended up the wife of David. Then in verse number 6, David, of course, being greatly distressed, did something he had not done before he went down with the Philistines. He commune with the Lord. He encouraged himself or strengthened himself in the Lord. The people emotionally responded with treasonous thoughts. They immediately put the blame on David. And of course, being run by emotion rather than wisdom and spiritual sense, they said, man, we ought to stone him. Well, thankfully they didn't. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's what he should have done all along. So God brought him back to himself through this tragic situation where the city was burned to the ground. The women and children were gone into captivity. They had no idea where they were. And so God indeed got his attention, didn't he? It's unfortunate sometimes we get ourselves in a position where the only thing God can do is bring something tragic to get our attention. Because when we trust in our own ways, we end up in devastating circumstances. David said to Abiathar the priest in verse number 7, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring hither the ephod. Now remember, the ephod contained the Urim and the Thummim. No one knows exactly what that included. Some say a white stone and a black stone, and somehow God would enable them to know his will through those stones that were kept in a pouch in the high priest ephod. And so David said, bring the ephod. He was desperate to know the will of God. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop or band? Some translations have. Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue. So God did answer David, unlike, even though David was not walking that closely with God. God, of course, had chosen him. And he got David's attention. Saul, of course, was dropped by God altogether, would not answer him at all. Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And so David took his 600 men, went to the brook Bezor, and he left about 13 miles south of Ziklag, and he left behind 200. At this time of year, the brook Bezor would have been raging. And so 200 of the men said, man, there's no way in the world we can physically cross. We're too tired, too exhausted. We just can't do it. So David left them behind. They watched the baggage. And 400 went with David, pursuing those that had raided Ziklag. And they came across a fella in verse number 11. He was Egyptian. And God had again intervened. He was at a point of death. God kept him alive. David gave him bread, gave him water to drink, gave him some figs, gave him some raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. He kind of was just about dead, and it revived him, gave him strength. Because he had not had any food, had not had any water for 3 days and three nights. It's a long time without water, isn't it? That's how we know God intervened. Because he was already sick and weak. And so then David said, where are you from? Who do you belong to? He said, I'm a young man of Egypt. I'm a slave to the Amalekite. My master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion or a raid upon the Negev, or the south of the Cherethites, upon the coast which belongs to Judah, upon the Negev, or the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said, can you show me where they're at? And the slave came back and said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt not kill me, neither deliver me into the hands of my master, and I'll bring thee down to this company or this band. And there's no record that David honored that, because it goes right into verse 16, and when he had brought him down. So I don't know what transpired. He might have said, look, you're a slave. We just fed you. One for us, you'd be dead. You're taking us. And he might have said, yes, sir. I don't know. Who knows what happened? But notice that it was more than just the plunder of Ziklag. They had also invaded other territories, which are named. We looked at them in verse 14. And so they had a lot of stuff. Not just the stuff they took from David and his men and the families, but they had a lot of other stuff. And David smote them from twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And I just want to remind you, as we read in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, they were not nice people. They were wicked people. They hated God. They hated his people. They were evil. And so not a single one of them escaped, but somehow 400 of them, which rode upon camels, fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and he rescued his two wives. All right, so number one, we saw distress, 1 through 6a. Number two, direction. Last part of verse 6 through verse number 15. David encouraged himself in the Lord, which we saw. Even though some wanted to stone him, he basically ignored them and he sought strength from God himself. And God did give him strength. Then him and Abiathar, the high priest, sought God's will. God promised victory. And that Egyptian slave had helped David. Leads us to number three, deliverance. 16 through 20, deliverance. God did deliver the Amalekites into David's hands. Though 400 did escape, David got it all back, plus he got a lot more. There was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all, and not only did he get everything back, but verse 20, David took all the flocks, all the sheep, all the cattle, which they drave before those other cattle, and said, "This is David's spoil." Now, David was not selfishly declaring, "All this extra stuff, it's all mine." That wasn't David's heart at all. David was basically saying, "Look, I'm in charge of doling it out. I'm the one that's going to give it out as I think God wants me to." David, starting back, came to the 200 men, which were too faint that they could not follow David. The ones that they made abide there at Brook Bezor, watching the baggage, went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. He greeted them. But there were some that were evil. Now remember, if you think back to chapter 22, in verse number 2, the kind of men that ended up following David, the number continued to grow to the point of 600. Everyone that was in distress. So they probably, some of them were not emotionally stable, were they? Some were in some devastating situations. Everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented or bitter of soul, gathered themselves. They must have been far-left radical Democrats. I don't know. That's what it sounds like here. He became a commander over them, a captain, a commander, and there were with him at this point 400 men. So all of them had serious problems, but they banded together to fight for David. So some of them weren't too good, and we see that here in verse 22 of chapter 30. Some were wicked or evil men and men of Belial or vile men. Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered. That's a pretty bold statement when David said clearly, and they knew David would be king. They pretty much said, we're not giving them anything. Well, David had different plans. Everyone is important, those at the front lines. We know that from the military. You got support personnel that are of vital importance to those actually fighting the battle. You need them all, don't you? And so David said, no, they're a part of our army, and they're going to get stuff just like you're going to get stuff. They're going to get an equal share. And so when we are ultimately one day born-again believers are rewarded by God himself at the judgment seat of Christ, all that are involved in the service of the Lord shall receive reward according to their faithfulness and according to their desire to honor the Lord. And David understood, and God had gotten a hold of David, shook him up a little bit here. In verse 23, David said, "You shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us." Every good and perfect gift comes from where? We cannot take glory for anything. We're going to look at something similar to this in our church hour. We cannot take glory. Everything we have been given. And everything we have that we have been given is going to be left behind when God takes us out. Nothing's going to be going with us. Some people hoard like they think they're going to be able to take it with them. So he wasn't saying, "This is my spoil." He's saying, I'm going to distribute it as I see fit according to what I think God wants me to do. Wicked and vile men rebelled against the idea. But David said, no, I'm going to give all the glory to God. He's the one that allowed this to happen. It wasn't for God, for one thing, their women and children would have died, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. And God saw to it that they got everything back, plus everything that the Amalekites had gotten in their raids before they got Ziklag. Well, David wanted to make sure that they understood where it came from, and also that God was the one that preserved him. Not a single one died, and delivered the band that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as this part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall this part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. All were equally important in the eyes of God. And so David said, I want to make sure this doesn't happen again. So he gave an executive order and said, I'm going to make a statute. I'm going to make an ordinance or a judgment for Israel unto this day. I'm making a law, an executive order. And David came to Ziklag. He sent of the spoil unto the elders. So not only did he say all that were involved in the battle, even those that were kept left behind to watch the baggage, all would receive an equal portion. He also remembered, this is awesome that he would do this. Remember, David, for 10 years, fled Saul. There had to be a lot of people that protected him that didn't rat him out. Remember, there were some rats along the way. We read about him. Well, there were a lot of people that were not rats, a lot of people that put him up, a lot of people that protected him. And so he said, you know what? They deserve to be paid. They deserve a reward. Them in Bethel, those who were in the south, Negev of Ramoth, them that were in Jattir, to them that were in Aroar, to them that were in Shipmoth, all of these people, and Becca read them so beautifully, I'm not going to try to follow up and read them. I'll butcher it for sure. To all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt, another great KJV phrase, wherever they went about, there were those who were faithful to God and faithful to King David and understood who he was. And so they received a portion. All right, questions or comments? We're a little early, but I do not want to get into chapter 31. We'll go over the prayer list, and you'll have an extra little time to fellowship. Yes, sir.
So was God still verbally communicating with them at this time?
No.
I know it was pretty sparse.
No, because they used the ephod.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, God spoke to them.
Not to say that God wouldn't. Again, he will.
I always wondered why they did that, if God would speak to them. But I guess he chose not to, and he chose to speak to them.
Yeah, they sought the will of God through the ephod. Sometimes God spoke, sometimes he didn't. Through words, and sometimes he didn't. Who's to know why? Who's to know? But it's a good question. You come up with some pretty good questions.
No, I just wonder why. Why wouldn't he just always speak?
You'll have to break out the ephod and figure it out for yourself, pal.
Or is that one of those instances where we don't know the mind of God? He had his reasons.
Yeah, I mean, we can speculate, but I don't like to do a lot of speculation because I figure most of those are wrong. Continue to pray for the church. We are suffering a latter summer kind of slump. We appreciate you being here this morning, but that's to be expected. It's vacation time, travel time, and the weather has been so gorgeous, some cannot resist. And they're off doing other things today, but we're delighted you're here. Pray for the church. God will bless. I'm excited about three baptisms next Sunday. That's a positive. And for the many visitors that we've been having during church hour, notice how many will come in probably even today. Pray for our nation. A lot going on. The radical Marxists are having trouble keeping up. Things are moving. And some are panicking over various aspects of Trump's plans. Got to be patient, let things work out. It's amazing how things can be totally destroyed in 4 years, and then Trump's expected to fix everything and make it perfect in 6 months. Does that seem right? It's kind of weird, isn't it? Pray for law enforcement, pray for ICE, their protection. Pray for our missionaries. Also, I didn't mention last Sunday, but there was a deputy Meacham, who was shot with some birdshot, and he's going to have surgery, if he has not already, on his hand. Had one above the eye and then his hand. So pray for Deputy Meacham, and that God would continue to protect our men and women in uniform across the country. Continue to pray that Bill's kidneys will march on till the rapture of the church, and his blood pressure. Pray for Mark and Rhonda's continued strength and increased faith, and for her mom. Pray for Darlene. Talked to her this week. She is, her counts are horrible, but she said, I feel good. So she was going on Thursday. They were going to do a bone marrow test to see what's going on. George's mom, Stacy, has yet to get results. It's been like 3 weeks. And so Becca has been encouraging her to call and find out. The ball was fumbled somewhere. You know they know something in 3 weeks. All right. Mason, get back safe.
I haven't heard yet, but hopefully he has.
Yeah, they were supposed to be in Peru until the 1st, which was Friday. So pray for the team. Hopefully they had a good time down there ministering in Peru. Pray for me if you would. I have a prostate MRI on August the 11th. And also my diastolic number, the low number is supposed to be around 80-ish. Mine's been running 60 and even sometimes in the 50s. And that's not good. That can lead to other issues. So my pulse is kind of low too, which makes you feel kind of out of sorts. And with my limited mental capacity, I can't afford to be out of sorts. So if you think about me, pray for me that my heart would get back. It's still out of rhythm. It's not AFib, but it's all over the place. Pray for Gary and Kathy are on their way back. Now, I just thought about it. I forgot now where they're coming from. Somewhere up in Pennsylvania, a bluegrass festival. They won't be back until before the meeting, maybe church time, I don't know. Do pray for the meeting today. And then, Sherry, you have surgery the same day. Where's that going to be? Is that going to be here?
In Hagerstown.
Okay. Is it something very serious? I mean, everything's serious when you're operated on, but...
It's eye surgery, so that's...
Cataracts?
No, I had that done. This is because I have glaucoma.
Oh. Never heard of that.
For the fluid.
Wow. Okay.
The fluid builds up in your eyes.
Okay, causes pressure, right?
Yeah, and that's not good because then that affects the optic nerve. So
okay.
I've had this for years. This is like my 7th or 8th surgery.
Oh, wow. Okay, pray for Sherry. August the 11th, that's a week from tomorrow. All right, let's stand together. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a loving God. And Lord, sometimes we push you aside until we have some sort of need, and then we call out to you. In your grace, you often respond, and we praise you for that. Lord, help us to be faithful warriors for you in prayer and sharing our faith, in living a life that exemplifies Christ, and what we're taught in your word. Help us to stand firm, unmovable, unshakable, not wishy-washy, not up and down, but steadfast. And Father, I pray for our nation. There's much that needs to change. And Lord, I pray that you would send a sweeping revival to our churches and to our land. Forgive our sin, heal our land, Lord, as only you can. Thank you for some of our leaders that love you and are seeking your will. And I pray, Lord, that you continue to direct the path of those that are calling out to you for wisdom. I pray you bless our little church, Lord. We thank you for those that have recently been saved, and we pray, Lord, that you continue to give us souls for our labor. And Father, may those that do not have assurance of salvation, Lord, may they settle it once and for all, looking to you who died upon that cross to pay for our sins in your own body and being put to death on that cross. Thank you, Lord, that the tomb could not contain you, but you rose again the third day, which shows that God did, the Father did accept your sacrifice for sins. And Lord, I pray that one lost would be willing to repent, to turn from sin, believe from the depths of their heart and very being that Jesus paid that price for the sin debt we couldn't pay. Receive him as Savior and Lord, believing by faith and being saved by grace and become a part of the family of God by being born into the family. Lord, we pray for those that are sick. We think of Sherry, who has eye surgery on the 11th. Lord, please guide the surgeon's hand that it would be successful, that relief would be real. Lord, we know you could heal her even before the procedure, that the doctor wouldn't have to do it. And if that would glorify you, we pray you'd do it. We pray, Lord, for those that are struggling with discouragement. Maybe some have financial issues and hardships. Some are battling physical pain and ailments. Some are having family issues. Lord, we pray that you would intervene for all of us, Lord, as we all have needs and burdens, and we all struggle. We all have this old sin nature that rears its ugly head and tries to cause havoc in our lives. So, Lord, please, may you build our faith. May we rely upon you and trust in you and lean upon you, not upon our own understanding, but acknowledging you in all of our ways, that you may direct our path. Thank you, Lord, for those that are faithful. We often notice those that aren't here and forget the faithful that are here, and we praise you for each one. Bless them, provide for them, Lord, direct their lives. May each of us be found in the center of your will, where there's peace and safety and satisfaction and purpose and joy. Lord, we pray you bless the coming hour. You know the need of our hearts, and Lord, we pray you'd meet it through your word, through the power of the Spirit. Bless, Lord, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, remembering your death till you come back. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for suffering and dying and paying our sin debt. Thank you for enduring what we should have to endure. God, help us to never forget. Help us, Lord, to keep short sin accounts, confessing and forsaking sin. And Lord, may you be glorified in all that's said and done the remainder of our time together today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, 15 minutes. Can you believe it? Write it down. Put an asterisk by it.